No, I listen to it all the time. I tell all my friends to smack it raw.
Podcast contains mature content. The views and opinions expressed by the co-host are not those of the host. Listener discretion is advised. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smackin' Raw Podcast, episode 207. I am your host, the Warden Matt Ritter. I am back with my co-host, the Pornhub Poppy, Daddy Delgado. Vince, what's going on?
Daddy's home.
Glad to have you back after 2 weeks, man.
I'm glad to be back. Honestly, man, I've missed you, man. I miss doing this show with you. I don't miss talking wrestling, but I miss talking to you, Matt.
You're not gonna miss talking wrestling because we got a lot of shit to talk about. But before we get into that, back again, one of our favorite podcasters to work with, one of the funniest podcasts that we both listen to, from the Dead Ass Girls. Jizzy, how are you?
Thank you. I'm good. It's midnight in the East Coast. Normally at this time, I'm probably in bed watching TikToks, but I showered just for you guys.
So appreciate that. I shower and wash from head to toe.
Okay, thank fucking God.
Some of the people in New York, apparently, you know, that look like me.
No. Listen, Jake Gyllenhaal, what's her name? Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher. All them motherfuckers are coming out. Like, nobody asked for this information, by the way. All of a sudden, they're telling us, like, yeah, I don't bathe. So I had to double check. I'm like, yo, Patriot, Mr. Matt Ritter, you know, I need to make sure that he washes.
To be fair, as weird as white people can be, famous white people are really fucking weird. So, like,
you can't
judge that us on the metric of rich white people because they just do odd shit for whatever reason.
That's true. But thank you for having me back in the damn. Is this the second time on the show, right?
Yes.
Officially, yes.
Officially, yeah, because we've done some parties and stuff like that. But as a host, awesome. You and I were actually supposed to do something on your show, and then your apartment flooded.
Oh my God. Please don't remind me. Yo.
Fucked all that shit up.
I'm still traumatized from that, because just hearing a pipe burst, it's not the best sound in the world, but also the fact that the water jumped and then fried all the electricity in the kitchen. So what killed me was that I had done food shopping the day before. I had to throw all that shit out because the fridge went out, and the fridge was out for like 3 days. Listen, kiddos, if y'all move to New York City and you get a slumlord like I have, don't pay your rent on time, all right? the more you know, all right? Also, just don't come to New York. New York, I'm going to be honest, it's fucking dry. I'm trying to get the hell out of here myself.
So we're going to kick it off with news and rumors, as we always do, and we're going to tie it in a little bit because, as we always do at the beginning of the show, we want to not only support the Black Lives Matter movement, but our boys Young Kings Wrestling, because they have those awesome Black Lives Matter shirts. And with those, they are doing something great. They're taking the money they receive and putting it into a fund. And then that fund is being distributed amongst GoFundMes and different ways to help people who have been affected by police brutality, racial injustice, and other things that we hear about on the news that continue to go on and have not stopped, that we talk about every week, because it's very important to us as our friends, our families, and loved ones are all affected by it, and some of us directly affected by it. So we do want to push that. And along with that, in news and rumors, WWE has again just released a shit ton of talent post-pandemic, and one of the things I want to talk about along with the releases, because I want to kind of clear up, there's the overdramatic people in the IWC who are like, oh my God, they gutted the whole NXT roster. And NXT, like, if you look at the people that were released, there are some names that I feel bad for, like Mercedes Martinez, because Mercedes is fantastic and she worked her ass off and she finally got to a big stage like WWE. And she didn't really get to shine the way we would have liked to see her shine.
Yeah.
You know, she got shuffled around a lot. She got stuck in Retribution, then pulled out, sent back down to NXT, blah, 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 and then cut. You got guys like Bronson Reed or Bobby Fish who have been mainstays on TV. But then you got people like, I don't know half these people. And I watch every fucking week. Like, that's the thing. I watch every week. And yeah. So Jake Atlas sucks because, again, what I want to talk about, representation, and representation matters. And this is the thing, is WWE's making it hard for us to watch their product by firing all these people. But then the alternative is AEW. So you want to support WWE because WWE is giving us the representation that we've been asking for forever. And people like Jake Atlas, you've got WWE champion Bobby Lashley, SmackDown Women's Champion Bianca Belair, Intercontinental Champion Apollo Crews, Money in the Bank holder Big E Langston. You have people of color and people of you've got Sonya Deville, a person of the LGBTQ community in a kayfabe position of power on TV every week, making decisions, making matches. So we're getting the representation we want on a company that's cutting a bunch of wrestlers and firing people left and right. And then the company that's hiring everyone, there is almost no representation at all over there. It's all white everywhere. So they're not making it easy in the wrestling world to be fans, because if you want a specific thing, you got to go to one place, and it's hard to support that place because they fire people left and right. And if you want to see the people that you love that got fired, you go over here, but then there's no representation over there. But yeah, no, let's look at this list of NXT wrestlers before we get into the big ones that really hurt me. You got Ari Sterling. No idea who that is. Kona Reeves hasn't been on TV in God knows how long. Leon Ruff, again, sucks, but hasn't been on TV in fucking forever. Stefan Smith, Zachariah Smith, Asher Hale, Giant Zangier. Like, I've never heard of any of these guys.
I'm going to be honest, that Giant Zangier name, I don't even think that's a real person. Like, WWE just wrote down, you know, like when the substitute teacher covers class and you write down a fake name? That's what I feel like happened. They meant to fire somebody else. They meant to fire Ava Marie, but she wrote Zangier. Yeah. And then they're like, all right, checks out. And then, you know, she's hiding in the back like, yes, I made it. Another cut. So I don't even know if that's a real name.
Now, I know Vince isn't too upset about Tyler Rust, though I want to say beforehand, we don't want to see anyone lose their job. Tyler Rust is part of the Diamond Mind. He's the skinny white boy with the long hair that hangs out with Roderick Strong.
Oh, the intern. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the dude that was managed by Malcolm Bivens for the longest.
Oh, I thought he was just an intern. I don't know.
But
see, I'm not a fan of the guy. I didn't think he really added much, but I just, like, I think it's odd. Like, he's part of a faction that just recently debuted. Like, I mean, again, I'm never wish for anyone to lose their fucking jobs. I've been canned from a job before. It's fucking sucks. But, you know, I mean, you're not too off base, Matt. Like, some of these people, unfortunately, just haven't been on TV all that often. And I hate the narrative how people are like, oh, WWE's hoarding all these talent. Now WWE's actually releasing talent because they have too much talent. And then it's like, oh, they keep releasing too many people. It's like, well, no matter what they do, like, there's always a negative there. I think the one that hurts me the most is Jake Atlas and Bobby Fish. Just because with Bobby Fish gone, that just removes all hopes for an Undisputed Era reunion anytime down the future.
For me, it's Bronson Reed, because I liked having a thick boy representing on NXT TV as a big guy myself, so I'm gonna miss that.
He was in a relative, like, I thought he was in a relevant storyline, so I was very surprised. I'm like, wait, did we not just see this man come out, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, sure, whatever. I mean, you know, like, see Mercedes go and Bobby Fish. Dallas. Like, yeah, it sucks. But you know, something that I said in our group chat, shout out to the cafeteria gang, by the way. If y'all know.
If you know, you know.
Only those who are in the know what the cafeteria is. All right. It's all the badass kids who cut class. We just stay in the cafeteria all fucking day. Okay, that's us. I had said that, you know, it sucks when you see your favorite performer get let go from any, you know, whether it be WWE, AEW, whatever promotion that you watch them on, you know. There we go. We got Mr. Ritter over here with the collector's box, clearly, it seems. It sucks to see a performer go, but you have to think that, yo, at the end of the day, they're going home to their friends, their family, their loved ones. And, you know, they need their time to regroup, catch their bearings, and then they're going to move on. And we're going to see them again somewhere else. Who knows? Maybe they might thrive elsewhere than they did at WWE or vice versa. Because we've seen it happen where they'll let go somebody and then they'll get so much hype elsewhere because they just completely did a 180 of their persona that WWE is like, oh shit, they're hot again. Let's bring them back. So, you know, I'm going to say, yeah, it's going to suck, you know, goodbye, but it's more like a see you later for some of these. Others, you know, I heard the Amazon fulfillment centers are still looking for drivers. So if y'all willing to, you know, work in abusive places where you have to pee in a bottle, I mean, it's no different than WWE, so, you know.
Pretty much.
I mean, it sucks, but, you know, honestly, like Jesse is saying, like, it's a job. They lost a job. What I do like about nowadays, it's not the same as back in the day. People can find other revenue streams. Like, there's Twitch channels. They can do, like OnlyFans. They can go ahead and be on Pornhub like we are. They can go ahead and go to New Japan. They can go indies. There's a lot of exposure. Right. There's a lot of avenues. They could, like, sell art. Like Dexter Lumis, if he ever gets released, he can sell that amazing art, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. Hopefully he doesn't get released.
Don't say that. Don't put that out there, because, like, I'm losing, like, so, okay, so also along with these releases, we heard that Ric Flair got released, which, again, he's not an active participant. Like, he's not an active wrestler. So, yeah, it kind of sucks, but also, dude's, like,
it's like
fucking dead anyway.
He was, like, in his 80s. Like, what he really needs to be doing is being a fucking retirement center and cooling his jets, because ain't no fucking way that, oh, yeah, he's been released. Oh, so sad. I'm like, you know, he got a whole ass daughter that we still gonna see.
And, like, a son-in-law over in AEW who's doing pretty well.
You know, right. Like, it's not like, okay, Ric Flair, he should have been at home fucking drinking chamomile tea and tucking in at 7 p.m. I don't know why people are so... See, this is what I don't understand, right, about these releases, is that fans always talking shit about the company, right? Oh, this is why I'll never support WWE, blah, blah. They go on Twitter, type up their little fucking discourses. They be on Twitter mobile, typing up all that little shit, right? But then they be the same motherfuckers going to the live shows, going to the house shows, going to the pay-per-views, shelling out money for meet and greets, shelling out money. I'm like, yo, y'all are the dumbest fucking people, because you guys go online to be, you know, showing out like, oh, you got your third eye open and shit, that you woke. But then you still feeding the McMahon family under the table. It's like being in class getting a hand job under the table. Like, to the teacher, you're saying, no, I'm paying attention. But in reality, you getting a nut off. You know, you're not paying attention.
I guess in this analogy, they'd be the ones giving WWE the hand job underneath the
desk. They're the ones giving WWE the hand job. And WWE's like, no, nothing's going on here. Nothing fishy is happening. And they're gripping the table like, I'm good. I'm good, teacher. So you're just like, oh, okay. See, you have to pass, you fucking dirty. So yeah, listen, it's just a fucking job. It's just their job is different than ours, but it's still a job. And people get fired left and right from your job. People get written up, people get whatever. I think the issue with these rounds of let goes is the optics. And I was actually thinking this in my shower. WWE has shitty control on their company optics. Let me explain. They pride themselves on being like hush hush, never leaking information or going after people who leak information, blah, blah, blah. But their optics department needs help. You see, that's why Vince left. Vince Delgado left because he works for the optics department.
Oh, no, Vince Delgado left because he's going to be getting a hand job under the table as we finish this podcast, but he has to let the hand job he'd be the hand jobby, hand jobber in the apartment. He let me know how to talk.
Okay, I see. Yeah, we'll work that out.
Yeah.
But the issue is the optics, right? Because first we saw Goldberg, then we saw Cena. Now you have Edge coming back more full time. So you see, you know, all these people, and then all of a sudden, the same week that these people are coming in, or the same 2 weeks that they're coming in, you have a whole round of people that are leaving. The optics don't look good because now to a fan, they're like, wait, they brought back Cena only to let go XYZ people so that they can afford Cena, or Goldberg, so they let blah, blah, blah people go so they can afford him. So this is why people go on their little rants on Twitter and Reddit and Instagram or whatever, is because the optics are trash. WWE needs to work on their optics. They don't need to be so public about everything. Like, don't get me wrong, it's nice to know what happens backstage and what happens, you know, but one, we don't know everything that happens backstage, and we also know too much. Like, we know too much of the wrong stuff and not enough of the good stuff, right? Like, we don't know how contracts work. We don't know how, you know, what basis people come in or what the agreements are. We just hear what comes to us, but then we get a lot of information on like nonsensical shit, like, oh, so-and-so loves to use Dove body soap. And it's like, okay, that, I don't really care. Like, that shouldn't be. So I hope that fans who are watching this live, or just who will listen to this later, like, just recognize that WWE's optics are shitty.
Yeah.
But at the same time, don't take it that seriously. And if you are going to still continue to support the company, you can still support them while criticizing them in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have this blind loyalty that it's not a dictatorship. Like, Vince McMahon is not, you know, it's okay to be a comrade. You know, this, you don't have to be all up on Vince McMahon's musty, dusty ball. Like, you can, you know, call him out and still support him.
Did you get a chance to see that quote from the Tyler Breeze interview where he basically kind of reiterates similar points where he's like, look, you signed a contract to basically sit on the bench, and if you are used, you're used, and if you're not, you're not. You know, like, you can just put your best effort to do the best you can with what you're given, and hope that you're given more opportunities going forward. He was saying it was like a casting call, very similar to that sense. And look at it this way, like in other sports, like the NBA, for instance, you can be signed to a contract and you can still ride the bench because you're not helping your team contribute, or that specific coach at that time doesn't see value in what you're contributing at that point in time through no fault of your own. It's just, but you're still, that's the contract you signed. And unfortunately, knowing like as a wrestler, you're signing with WWE, there's always that risk. I'm like, whoa, am I going to get used, or am I just going to sit on the bench the entire time there? Regardless of the fact, they're still getting a check cut to them. And if they want a little bit more creative freedom, luckily there's avenues there. Like, there's Impact's really good right now. I haven't been able to catch an Impact because of my work schedule, but Impact's good. You still have Ring of Honor, there's New Japan, there's AEW, whether there's diversity or not. Maybe more diversity should be signed there instead of signing so many like white boys over there over to AEW.
Those you just close, and that's it.
Well, see, now that was the point I was getting to, is I can't have them close because I lost Aleister Black. and I lost The Fiend this week, which makes me sad because as a horror movie fan and a wrestling fan, characters like Aleister Black, The Undertaker, and The Fiend, really that's my shit right there. And Dexter Loomis. Mm-hmm. Dexter Loomis is like a When a Stranger Calls, creepy, hanging right outside. Like, that's my shit. Those are my favorite kind of wrestlers. So Dexter's all I got left. So don't put that shit out there, Vince, because Dexter's all I got left. But at least I can go see Malachi Black over in AEW, kicking fucking Cody Rhodes in the face, making me happy, ending whatever Homelander bullshit he's on. So,
Yo, can I just say, side topic before we jump on, Vince, how is it that we spoke, I don't know, a couple months ago, maybe 5 months ago, and you still don't got no furniture in your house?
What you talking about? I have a whole ass couch right there.
Nah, because the last time we spoke, you literally had the same setup talking about, oh yeah, I'm gonna go get some furniture. And here we are in 2021. And
so,
like a broke college student, what's going on?
So what happened was there was a little uncertainty in terms of my living situation. A few bills came into play that kind of just hampered me financially. And it's just some other stuff that just kind of prevented
all those OnlyFans subscriptions you have. I knew it.
You know, that's the issue, is that I don't have any OnlyFans subscriptions yet. I don't have the account up and running just yet.
I've been trying.
I offered
to come over and film the shit for him. I said, I'll take care of it. You're not, like, you're 45 minutes away. Because I'm like one of those Chicago people, like when they say that WWE is in Chicago, but it's not. It's in like Rosemont. That's kind of like where I'm at. I'm not really in Chicago. Like, I'm out by Rosemont. He's in Chicago. So, like,
you know what? You're the Jersey person who says, yeah, I'm from
New York. First off,
I'm from New York.
Never, ever compare me to Jersey ever. Secondly,
I'm from outside New York. You're like, what the fuck? You mean Jersey?
I lived in Chicago. I legitimately lived in Chicago. So,
no, that's like what you just said is basically saying, like, Matt claiming he's from Chicago and he's really in Milwaukee or in just
Wisconsin. Yeah,
that's more similar.
Yeah, but
he got so heated. Yo, by the way, if you're a Jersey fan and you listen to the show, listen, you just
it
lost.
Is what it is.
Listen, after the last 2 weeks of me talking about Nick Gage, there are no Jersey fans listening to the show anymore. So,
listen, I don't give a fuck about Nick Gage. That man deserves more jail time. Okay, people are like, oh, but he has such a sad life. Oh, he's just trash. He's trailer trash. That's it. Trailer trash with hype men. That's what
from
it
New
is.
Jersey.
Okay, like, I don't give a fuck. Oh, he had a tough life. My dude, we all have tough lives. We not in a fucking ring smashing each other with light bulbs, calling it art and entertainment.
Robbing banks and smoking meth. Like, that's not our deal.
Like, meth out of all fucking things, meth. That motherfucker was pulling a Fergie. And y'all talking about, oh, yeah, yo, you know, he really came up and up. Nah, that man should be on methadone and, you know, talking to a therapist. Not in a fucking wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Bleeding his meth, heroin ads. First of all, the fact that one of his arteries has not burst yet is extremely wild to me because I know meth be giving y'all brittle bones. Okay, so... anyways, my bad.
All I know about meth is what I've been taught on Breaking Bad, and that's about it. That's as far as my knowledge on meth goes.
Well, they made it in a mobile home. Google, that's all you need to know.
Vince, you need to Google meth and then learn more.
No. I think I'll be okay.
I'm not going to say that. Jizzy, I know we only have you for a short period of time. I know you do have to go, so... what we normally do is I have you pick a show.
I'm chilling. I have to stay for until one.
Okay. Well, like I said, what I normally do is I'm gonna have you pick a show and then I'll run down the whole card real quick, slightly biased. And then I'll just come back and I'll say, all right, what are you swallowing? We'll talk about what you liked. And then what are you spitting? We'll talk about what you didn't. So what show is the first one that you want to talk about in case you got to go before we get to the rest?
SmackDown. It's recent, and my stoner brain does not remember anything else.
All right, so we kick SmackDown off with Sasha. She comes out saying nobody's going to steal her spotlight again.
She's no back one's going to steal my spotlight again.
Are you sure it wasn't Jizzy over there standing in the middle of the ring?
She's back to get revenge for Bianca's disrespect. Bianca comes out, basically says she's going to show Sasha what disrespect is, accepts Sasha's challenge. Then Zelina comes out and says, wait, I had a title shot first. You already accepted my shit. And Bianca's like, all right, well, I'll fight her at SummerSlam. I'll fight you tonight. Like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll fight everybody. Dominic loses to Jimmy. Edge mm-hmm. wants to show Seth how much of a son of a bitch he can be. Nakamura defeats Apollo by DQ after interference from General Aziz. Paul Heyman informs Kayla that Cena's contract is bullshit. 100% agree. Big E surprises Paul with a smile and says, oh, well, how about this contract? This contract bullshit.
I love that.
We got Tegan Nox defeating Tamina after Shotzi fires a dildo at Tamina's face. We find out there is no title match. Zelina gets a number one contenders match because apparently she's champion. And unlike all of the other white champions in WWE, Bianca does not get to make matches. Edge addresses Seth, says that he is Edge in the past. Seth is via satellite, says you got to have plan B. I don't think either of these other guys know what plan B or has ever had a girl use it. Edge wants a match at SummerSlam. Seth says he'll think about it and that Edge should too because he's got a weak ass neck. Street Profits beat Rudolph. Bianca defeats Zelina. And then Finn defeats Corbin, calls out Roman, says he'll go through Cena to get it. Roman tells Finn to keep his name out of his mouth. Finn shoves him. Usos jump Finn. Finn fights back. And then the Usos beat the shit out of Finn with Roman.
Yeah.
What are we swallowing from SmackDown tonight?
Roman all day, any day. Anyways, I'm joking.
I second that. I'll swallow Roman.
Kidding, guys. Okay. So I don't have any particular segments that I'm spitting or swallowing, or I think overall SmackDown, I'm gonna say that I swallowed it, and then when he turns around, I'm gonna spit it out real quick. So I don't know what category that is, but yeah.
We'll call that gargle undecidedly.
A phantom swallow, if you will.
A phantom swallow. Okay, we got a new category. I like
the reason why is the Zelina segment with Bianca and Sasha. I'm happy that it kicked it off because typically we always see Roman kicking off SmackDown. So it's great for them to try to switch it up. But I just feel like the Zelina storyline is still too weak for them to really be pushing that for SummerSlam. I feel like that's a storyline that it could be like a side storyline that kind of can be picked up after SummerSlam. As far as Big E, you know, versus Roman, the rumor, like everybody dreams of that. I know that they can definitely
wet
go.
Wet dreams of Big E. Big wet meaty dream. Man slapping meat. That's what
big
we want.
Meaty man
slapping meat. That's what we want to see. That's what we
want
to see.
Come you want now. Your five-star classics?
Nah.
Not me.
Oh, man.
You know, as far as Finn and bum-ass Corbin, bum-ass Baron, you know, it's such a weird storyline because, like, not going to lie, as a fellow poor person, I feel bad for Baron because I'm like, damn. Struggling too,
but he's like, still being a dick about it.
I can share my food stamps with you because we in this together, man. I this sucks, you know. Like he eating Vienna sausages out the can and catering while everyone else is eating raw food.
Come on, now, Vince. You are going through the struggle too. You know how it is when you're trying to come up. You're gonna do anything you can to come up, and sometimes you realize that you might have done something shady, and you're gonna apologize for it. That's what Baron did. Baron saw an opportunity. He's like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get that contract. I'm going to get a come up. Everything's going to be okay. My wife's going to come back. I'll get somebody to fix my dick. Shit's going to happen. No. And then he apologized. He's like, you know what? I realized I was wrong. This whole thing is about Baron Corbin realizing this entire time that he's been an asshole. And now he's got to fight all of his asshole tendencies that are still in him.
Listen, good for him. Baron Corbin is one misfortune away from sucking dick in a alley. Like, he is one bad match away from being in the locker room like, yo, I'll suck your dick, man. I'll suck your dick for pre-workout, man. Come on, you gotta help me, please.
I gotta hit up.
I want to know who's gonna go for it.
See, I want to hit up Kenny from Kenny for Your Thoughts to see if he was out in the parking lot giving hands fans hand jobs after the show. That's what I should call it. Like, if Travis would like just let me name the episode random shit, I would just call it Hands Fan Jobs.
Yeah,
we should start doing that. To be honest, I like.
He'll just change it.
That's what we do. We name our episodes dumb shit all the time.
Going back to the swallowing for SmackDown, because that's what we do here. Again, I want to swallow anything Roman, because that man is swallow-worthy every single fucking week.
Same, Vince.
Big E, I can't swallow that man enough. I wish he was standing outside my door giggling maniacally with a briefcase over his shoulder. I think that would make my fucking evening.
I think you want to be... Did you see that video of him and the briefcase in the corner?
Yeah.
Where he's like humping the, I think you want to be the briefcase.
He wanted to be the briefcase so badly. Yep.
No, I don't want to be the briefcase, but I want to be in the room with the briefcase and Big E, if that makes any sense.
He likes to watch.
Oh,
okay.
That's his
warrior.
Thing.
Okay, warriors. Okay. I dig it.
I also do want to swallow the opening for SmackDown. I thought Jizzy's promo to kick off SmackDown was fantastic.
That's my promo. Thanks, guys.
No, because honestly, like, the entire time I'm like, bro, Jizzy has forever changed the dynamic of Sasha promos, because I only picture her in a fucking wig delivering
in that purple wig
delivering a perfect Sasha pitch promo. So that, and bum-ass Corbin is getting a swallow from me, man. I love this gimmick. I was behind Constable Baron Corbin when many people weren't. I'm with TC, man. This guy is a great wrestler. I like him. He's a little bit underrated, in my opinion. I'm all for bum ass Baron Corbin. I think this is going to lead to a big face turn, and I'm all for it.
I'm going to agree with you guys on all those things. I really do like that, and I said this last week. I like that we went back to Sasha Bianca for SummerSlam, because it was so great at WrestleMania that at SummerSlam it's going to be a banger again. And we're seeing now with someone like Sasha, and maybe not so much in-ring wise, but at least on the microphone, someone like Zelina, that can bring more personality out of Bianca as a champion and give us that Bianca that we kind of want to see, that I am the champion. I'm confident in being the champion. Like, that whole opening segment was great. And now I want her to retain, so that way after the draft, I can get Bianca versus Sasha, or Bianca versus Asuka, or Charlotte. Oh, yeah. Like, there are people that I want to see Bianca defend that title against, to bring her further and further and further along in this journey. So Charlotte might be a little bit of a curse, so maybe not, but
I'm also gonna say that I forgot the Samoan Yin Yang twins, the Usos, this My Chemical Romance hairstyles that they both got.
I fucked with
phases, you know, it's cute, but
alcohol is a hell of a drug.
It for sure is, but I'm a little, the tag division in SmackDown is lacking, and it's very just confusing, because I'm not understanding why the Usos are embroidered in a feud with the Mysterio family. I'm like, where's the background to this? Like, I'm you know, thinking about the SmackDowns that I watched, and I'm like, that shit was thrown together so haphazardly.
Yeah.
And why, like, I don't think that the Usos necessarily have to compete in tag matches for them to stay relevant. You know what I mean? Like, I know back then, you know, with tags, like, oh, you always had those matches. But now that the landscape has been changing, where you could still be relevant as a performer if you're not really in a match. Like, look at fucking that Bugenhagen dude. All he does is play a goddamn guitar with and motherfuckers are literally saying his name in arenas and buying merch. And, like, you know, it's like, you can be a character and still push the storyline without competing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like WWE, like, recently, they've kind of lost their footing there because they used to do that a lot. I mean, like, think about all the classics, all the legends that we have. A lot of them weren't even fucking wrestlers, but they still served the purpose for storylines. I feel like Usos should be that for Roman. Like, they should be enforcers. They shouldn't really be in matches. Maybe they can go interrupt the match, maybe fuck shit up, maybe, you know, do enforcer shit. But I don't think that they need to be in a tag. And I don't think that Dominic needs to be in a tag match either. Because now it just feels like, oh, I'm only getting because of my dad. I'm like, listen, Mr. Mysterio, you need to go home and be a fucking family man. You know, stay ass at home. Let your kid do that. Or if you're gonna push him with Ray, you need to do like a father-son, not a tag team, but more like, you know, like, yo, this is how I
like did. Like a mentorship.
Yes, it was more like a mentorship, you know? And I mean, it would be cool if it was like a heel mentorship, you know, where like, okay, here's my idea, right?
That would only work with his biological daddy, Eddie Guerrero, because he was all about the heel tactics. But, you know, like Ray, he's never been a heel in his life. So, you know, he wouldn't know about that. So.
That's fun. R.P. Eddie.
So, I agree that Ray needs to go home because now that Buddy Murphy is released, you know how many kids Aaliyah is going to have by the time he gets home? Like, they have nothing better to do.
Got it.
No? No? No.
Just... Are they actually still together?
No, nah. I don't think they were ever actually really together.
No, they were.
No, I mean, I know for a storyline. Damn, that sucks. So they actually look kind of cute.
Yeah, no, they released him. That's over. Like,
oh, yeah, they did. I forgot they released Buddy Murphy.
That's what I was saying. Now that he's on unemployment, he's got nothing better to do than hit that. So, like, they're going to have kids. The last thing I want to
Australia to their 18th lockdown, yo. Them Australians are struggling.
Yeah, he might have got deported after he got released because that word Jesus. Visa. Last thing I want to swallow. Everyone that listens knows I'm a huge Shotzi Blackheart fan. She is now on SmackDown, and she rolled down that tank, fired that dildo right at Tamina's head, missed it, caused a distraction, giving Tegan Knox the win.
Tegan the Knox the win.
I love it. I don't need Natty and Tamina as tag team champions. So if we're gonna build Tegan and Shotzi to, you know, take them on and maybe beat them at SummerSlam for the tag titles, I'm all for it. I'd rather see Tegan and Shotzi going brand to brand defending the titles than Tamina and Natty. Like, don't get me wrong, I was very happy Tamina finally got that title run. Unfortunately, they paired her with Natty. So you've got it. Congratulations. Let's move on.
Yeah, for sure.
And Natty's injured, so like they need to drop the titles anyway.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Are we spitting anything? Or do you have any more swallows?
No, sorry. I meant to say spit instead of swallow. Sorry.
What are we spitting?
I'm trying to think.
Listen, in real life, I'm swallowing the Samoan Yin Yang Twins, but in this wrestling world, I'm spinning. Like, first of all, I'm not even putting that dick in my mouth. Like, that's how I feel right now.
Jeez.
Add another category. Don't whip it out.
Don't whip it out.
Phantom dick, don't whip it out.
I don't think there's anything I'm necessarily spitting. Everything else is just kind of there where I don't even want
to handle it.
The only thing I'm going to spit, and like I kind of said it when I did my rundown, is I don't like how Adam and Sonya said that Bianca's not allowed to make matches as champion. And they, instead of, if you were going to have Zelina lose anyway and not win and get the number one contendership for after SummerSlam, why did it matter if it was a title match or a number one contendership? So all you did there was kind of hurt Bianca by being like, oh no, you can't make matches. Roman can make matches. Charlotte can make matches. So-and-so can make matches, but you can't make matches. And that was fucked up to me. I don't know why they went that route, but
I agree. It was so weird because it's like, wait, I'm sorry. Historically speaking, I've seen every fucking schmuck with a goddamn belt pretty.
They literally just let John Cena finesse his way into a championship match and didn't see anything wrong with that. But a straight up challenge and your champion is a fighting champion can't defend the title because she, what? Like, why wouldn't you want a championship match on SmackDown? That's, that makes no business sense, even in kayfabe. Just like, it's dumb.
I know Jizzy said overall you are phantom spitting SmackDown.
Phantom swallowing. So
phantom swallowing.
Like SmackDown came in my mouth, and you know he was like, "Oh, you swallowed," and I was like, "Mm-hmm." And then he turns around and I spit that shit out.
Vince,
also all of SmackDown. I'm like, once it's there, you know, just. It is what it is.
Vince, you're my kind of girl. That's what I like to hear.
man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I only had one gripe. So overall, majority of it I liked. I'll swallow it.
It wasn't necessarily a bad show.
You got a preference next, Jizzy, for your last 9 minutes? We'll try and get through one real quick.
No, actually. I'm sorry, I don't want to derail your show, but I wanted to just say one thing.
Okay.
It's, you know, I think a lot of people have been talking about it with Darby Allin. So,
Yeah.
When allegations come out against a wrestler, you have every right to air out how you feel, you know, put a little think piece together, etc., right? But don't fucking say that you stand with the survivor and then in your Twitter history, you are sucking off Darby Allin. But there was a lot of accounts today that were like, oh, Darby Allin's piece of shit. Oh, they should be investigated. And I was this close from being like this you and then putting up a tweet that they had 2 years ago praising Darby Allin. But I refrained from doing it because I'm like, you know what? I've already cyberbullied one person this week. I think that's
so I'm with you on that. We actually had in another group chat kind of a discussion about this. So the discussion that I brought up was I'm seeing a lot of people saying things online like, it's not the IWC's place to place judgment. It's for the cops to investigate and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, that's fine. But if you're not going to have that kind of energy for everyone, because they don't, they didn't have it for Patrick when that shit went down. I'm like, you can't sit here and say, well, this person is guilty until proven innocent. But this guy over here, we like him. So he's innocent until proven guilty. Let the cops handle that. We need to keep the same energy. And it's not surprising that generally when guys like Rich Swann or Patrick, black males have allegations come out of them, automatically they are canceled, done with, blah, 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 regardless of where we go until they are proven innocent in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Whereas guys like Matt Riddle or Darby Allin tend to get the benefit of the doubt.
The entire fucking WWE Scotland or UK or whatever the fuck that had that whole shit shut down.
NXT UK.
It's messed up because I don't doubt that something may have happened. It's just that again, like you cannot just say, oh well, you know, they're not really that bad of a person. Maybe so-and-so. Like you can't pick and choose. You either ride or die for the cause or shut the fuck up. That's it.
The biggest pet peeve no one's
gonna check for you if you don't say anything. Like nobody really gives a fuck about what you say. You could choose to support them in silence or support them loud, but a lot of motherfuckers are like, you know, oh well, he was young, he didn't understand that. That's one. Two, I'm going to say this. I know this is going to offend my baby girls, my women. We need to do better when it comes to our self-respect. And when I say that is, if a fucking dude disrespects you, steps to you, says anything, does anything to you, you need to say something right then and there. Because there are a lot of times where something happens and we let it slide, and then a worse thing happens and we'll let it slide. So then the behavior escalates and we don't say anything until it's the worst possible situation. And then people are questioning our judgment, right? We need to, for ourselves, we need to establish right then and there, yo, this dude pulled my hair today. Just hope y'all know. So then the next time he does some fuck shit, you guys know, wait a minute, he did do XYZ before. So I'm more inclined to believe.
Yeah.
It's not on us to tell men not to harass us or not to sexually subjugate us to abuse. Obviously, we're all adults. We should not be putting our hands on each other or doing fuck shit. But we need to also establish those boundaries right then and there and make sure that we stick to it, right? Like, there's a lot of times where, you know, you go on a date with someone and you give in to something that you don't want to do, and then now you misinterpret that situation into something else. I'm not speaking as far as what happened with the Darby Allin case. I'm not going to say anything specific, but just in general, for anyone, men, women, children, like, if you're getting harassed, you know, if someone's doing something to you inappropriate, you need to say something up front. And that doesn't mean you got to go to the cops. Just say anything to anybody. If you got a group of friends who's ready to roll out with Scully masks, ready to stomp somebody out, do that.
If you got a cafeteria, let the cafeteria
all right, you know. Go to the cafeteria, like, yo, so-and-so did this. All right, I'm booking my flight right now to Chicago.
We'll stop playing spades. We'll pause the game. We'll go handle what we got to handle. Come back, finish the game later.
And that's it. You know, like, you could tell someone, but the internet is not the place to tell all the time, right? Because you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be against you, and you're going to have a very few people who are going to be for you. And guess what? Those people who are for you, they're only for you for the optics, because a lot of times people speak out saying that they support you, and then behind closed doors, they're still fucking with the perpetrator. They still choking them. They still booking them for shows. So, you know, let's do better, guys. Everybody walk around with a weapon. And if a fucking musty, crusty wrestler comes up to you talking about, oh, you want to practice this arm bar? No, arm these nuts. Change his ass.
And abuse can be either physical or mental. So if someone's mentally abusing you, verbally abusing you, manipulating you, and you know something's not right and it's uncomfortable, you need to speak up and tell somebody and let somebody know what's going on. And as men, we need to be better and not do shit like that and not perpetrate that idea of we feel that, you know, it's masculine or better to put women in a submissive place, because that's not the case at all. So that shit needs to stop as well. I agree. And like I said, there's not just with that, but when you come out to the internet, especially with someone famous, everyone's looking at you like you're just looking to get clout. That is the first thought, is you're only doing this because you saw other people got attention and you're seeking attention. Whether it's true or not, that's what everyone is going to think, right or wrong. That's the way it comes off. Though if you have people who you've spoken to, who know about it, who are there to back you and support your story, then your claims are then more valid than waiting 2 years and coming out and speaking out about one famous person after 2 years and nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about because you kept it to yourself.
Right. And, you know, there's not to say, obviously, I understand why people keep things to themselves. Mm-hmm. I know it's especially too traumatic or too hard or whatever the case is, but it's easier to get people in your corner when you can show, hey, look at the fucking evidence. Like, it's right here. Obviously, the court of public opinion will be more judgmental than the justice system, the injustice system, to say. But another thing is we can't let dollars dictate how we act. And when I say that, I mean especially to a lot of wrestlers who probably knew that this shit was happening from years ago, who probably know that of other people who are still doing it today. Like, they don't want, like, oh, I can't say names, I can't say who it is. Bro, fuck your bag, your integrity. Because guess what? You have to wake up every day knowing that you knew that shit was going down and you didn't do anything about it. Like, I don't know how some people can actually just, like, oh, it's out of sight, out of mind. At least it's not happening to me. It's like, you're still a piece of shit. So all the people who are defending Darby Allin right now, talking about, oh, we should hear his side of the story. Okay, fine. He can say his side of the story. And then what? When you find out that, hey, this dude is guilty, what you going to say?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, way, fuck at Straight Edge GTS.
Yeah. If you guys have no idea what they're talking about, you guys can go check out the Deadass Girls on Twitter at Deadass Girls. And there's plenty of evidence.
Linking the tweets are gone.
They're gone?
Twitter made me delete
them. Oh, yeah, that's right. They deleted them. Shit. Well, so you can't go there.
False advertisement there.
If you do go follow the Deadass Girls, and you already follow me at Matt Ritter, I will let you know next time the Deadass Girls find someone to bully justifiably, because this was one of those cases. So, Jizzy, you going to stick around for a little while longer, or you got to go?
It's warm. I'm going to give you 10 more minutes.
10 more minutes? All right. Well, yeah. We're going to start NXT. You want to start NXT?
Let's do it.
All right, so kick it off with Hit Row defeating Legado by DQ because Santos takes out Top Dollar. Legado jumps Swerve. Santos steals Swerve's grill, and then Hit Row come back and beat up Legado. Joe is informed he will be escorted by security until takeover because we can't trust this man. Ridge Holland is back. He defeats some anime guy. Dunn says that they're the three baddest men on the roster to prove him wrong, and then threatens Timothy Thatcher. Frankie Monet hates losing. She's going to rebuild the Robert Stone brand from the ground in her image. Robert Strong defeats the now fired Bobby Fish. So that was his bye-bye match. Cameron Grimes has to wrestle in a suit. Knight and Grimes lose to GYV. Knight bailed on Grimes, who then tried to do it 2-on-1, but failed. Ted DiBiase comes down completely out of character, gathers up Grimes and tells him everything's going to be okay. You got to be a man, blah, blah, blah. Dakota Kai is nobody's sidekick. Giant Gonzalez didn't give a shit about her or help her try to get her title back. So now she's going to take that title from her because Giant Gonzalez is a bad friend. Trey Baxter defeats John Wayne Gacy. Io sticks Zoe with the bill as they try to make friends at a sushi restaurant. Karrion Kross calls out Joe, says he can't change anything, and then Joe kills all of the security guards, and Kross runs like a bitch. And then in our main event, for custody of Indy Hartwell's vagina, Dexter Lumis loses to Johnny, but still wins because Index is a thing. Indy said, fuck her fake parents, ran down to the ring, and basically dry humped that man live on TV for all of us to watch. That was the PG Edge and Lita live sex celebration that we all wanted and finally got. What are we swallowing from NXT?
Man, that was an awesome recap, by the way. That was...
Thank you.
Index, how much more can I say about Index? It's been a fantastic story. I like that they actually like culminated in them actually finally being together. Beth Phoenix on commentary, fangirling, by the way, shipping the fuck out of this shit.
Right.
What's made this so fantastic. And Wade Barrett has been the perfect antagonist to her on commentary as well. I love that. Hit Row, again, fantastic. Shout out to Like Ashanti the Adonis over here raiding Shinsuke Nakamura's closet, though, like coming out here looking like 2016 Shinsuke Nakamura or whatever. I'm with it. I'm not the biggest fan of Legato looking like chicken shit heels, but you know, it be what it be. Rich Holland, his match, it was impressive. I'm curious to see what the direction is between the three guys paired together. It's no longer POD, but you know, we probably find some other acronym for them. And what else can I swallow from me? I think that's it.
Yeah,
how
I
did you
I agree. Like oh my bad,
no, go ahead,
forgetting something.
I was actually gonna say I do agree, like Legado de Fantasma, I actually really do like the contract that they have with Hit Row. And I'm actually really looking forward to seeing more matches from them because they mesh very well. Like they're both teams are great on the mic and they're great in the ring. So I feel like, you know, we kind of have that tag team fix that we've been looking for. Ridge Holland, it was okay. Like, yeah. It wasn't something that I was necessarily, like, on the lookout for. But Jito, man, that, wow. Beautiful person, by the way. Beautiful specimen. Roderick Strong versus Bobby Fish. Man, that's crazy. They looked like two old geezers who just came from the pub. And they were, like, fist fighting. Like, oh, what you saying to me, Mike? You say you fuck with Barcelona. No, man, I'm fucking Chelsea Premier. And then they just started scrapping. So that's what they look like. Yeah. I think I'm like gargling on that one. I'm gargling undecidedly. Like, should I swallow? Should I not? I don't know. Grizzled Young Vets versus LA Knight, Cameron Grimes. Yo, not gonna lie, LA Knight, he's giving me drunk uncle energy at the barbecue. I'm here for it. Also, he kind of gives me, you know, when you play WWE 2K and you hit randomized character, that's who LA Knight is. Like, I don't really know who he's supposed to be or what exactly his storyline is supposed to be, or like his movesets also kind of confuse me a little. Like, sometimes he's doing flippy shit, other times he's doing power shit. It's,
yeah.
I'm mad that you called him John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy. In our breakout,
Gina will be very mad because she's fiending for Joe Gacy. So I'm gonna tell you,
I didn't name the guy damn near John Wayne Gacy. They did. I don't know why the fuck. If you could pick a name, why you would pick Gacy as your last name?
Yeah, and, I agree.
I grew up on the south side of Chicago. So I grew up near like the Northwest Indiana area. Mm-hmm. So like that whole John Wayne Gacy thing, right, as a clown, that area. So like I've all like between it and that motherfucker, I have always been like, no clowns ever. No, don't fuck with clowns.
All right. So the next time I come to the podcast, don't be surprised if I just like,
no, don't do that. I'm with you guys.
I'm not going to traumatize you.
Index was great. Even though Loomis lost, the fact that Indy just like, it's weird that I really enjoyed that they treated Indy like a teenage girl who wasn't allowed to date the bad boy. And then she just like it was like watching a fucking white teen movie where she's like, no, mom and dad. And she ran and she went after the guy anyway. He's standing outside her window holding the boom box, drawing, mm-hmm, whatever. LA Knight, I feel like his character is a frat boy that date rape co-eds. That's what he reminds me of. I don't know how I feel about Ted DiBiase being a good guy, because that's not my $1 million man. But it's all right. And then Aikman Jiro, like I said, he's like a real life anime character, which is cool. Come to life.
Yeah. Like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character.
Hit Row's great. My question is, the one segment that everyone picked apart from NXT, and I saw all the people that want to say NXT isn't great and NXT, this It was the fucking Io Shirai, Zoe Stark at the sushi restaurant segment. And if that is the one segment that you watched that ruined the entire show for you, I don't know why you are watching wrestling, because A, there was no wrestling in that segment whatsoever. B, it was literally like maybe 5% of the entire show. And that should not be enough to ruin an entire show, because no, it wasn't great. It wasn't masterful or funny, or, but it wasn't so fucking terrible and bad that it's like, oh my God, Samoa Joe destroying all those guys and the Index story, all this stuff was just trash because of Zoe Stark throwing seafood at a wall and having to pay a, like, come the fuck on, people.
I mean, it was a little cheesy, but not bad cheesy.
Yeah, enough. It wasn't like, it wasn't ruin the show bad.
How are you guys
like
feeling?
Like lame comedy movies that you watch, like an Adam Sandler movie. It's not too bad, you know. You sit through it. It doesn't ruin your experience of movies, you know.
You're sitting through Adam Sandler movies. Yeah. Damn, Vince, you're really in the gutter, huh?
Hey, you know what? I play what's on cable.
I will still get you help. I will still watch Happy Gilmore and Waterboy, no problem. And The Longest Yard. Okay.
Oh, yes. Old, I don't know about the third one, but old Sandler movies, yes. I'm talking about recent Sandler movies.
No, I haven't watched. I think
and you get the gang together, like, hey, you guys want to see Grown Ups 2?
No, I watched Grown Ups 1 and that wasn't it. Click wasn't it. Like, I just can't take that man seriously. But overall,
like, hey, you want to watch 50 First Dates? I got it on VHS.
Said VHS.
Are we spitting anything from NXT?
I think maybe. You know, I wasn't mad with anything from NXT. It was NXT puts out consistent, you know, stuff. So I think overall, everything.
That boring missionary Roman was talking about. It's not bad.
You know what? It's not
all the time.
Nah, it's not missionary. Raw is missionary. NXT is more like vacation sex. Like, you're still doing the your three favorite moves, but it's a different venue, so it feels way better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's vacation sex.
Yeah,
you getting texts about your three favorite moves right there, Vince?
Something like that.
All right. I'm gonna swallow NXT overall. I got nothing to spit either. It was a good show, and I agree.
Yeah, solid.
I'm gonna just gargle NXT. I wasn't too satisfied with it this week, unfortunately.
Okay, fair enough. I know you hate Karrion Kross, so
yeah. Damn, really, that sucks. I'm not really a fan.
I mean, I don't know if I hate him, but he's not, like, I don't really see the hype, to be honest. I don't. I love his entrance, and Scarlett's a bad bitch, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Not his main roster entrance, because that's just generic.
Well, I'm going to say, he'll be on Raw soon, and then he'll just be added to all the shit on Raw that you don't like, and you don't have to worry about him on NXT. So once Samoa Joe chokes his bitch ass out, takes that title, becomes three-time NXT champion, the world will be okay again.
Yeah.
They fired Tyler Rust. Aaliyah left. You got nothing to complain about.
They're slowly cleansing NXT of the things that I dislike, which is always great.
Jizzy, you going to stick around for another show or you got to get out of here?
I do, because I'm very sleepy. And
I understand.
I was like smoking, but I just wanted to say Matt Ritter and the Raw team, y'all are dope. Y'all awesome. Keep doing what you guys doing. I'm so glad to have met you guys through the podcasting space. And the fact that this is my second debut on Pornhub, and I'm high in my second one. So I'm accomplishing a lot.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to go brag to my man right now. Like, hey, guess who's going to be on Pornhub? With two guys. Yeah, you like that, right?
Let everyone know where they can find you real quick. And when maybe we can expect another episode soon.
Yes. So we're actually recording this weekend. So once I edit it, it should drop by Sunday-ish. Listen, just support all our old stuff. All right. It's at Deadass Girls on Twitter and at Deadass Girls Podcast on Instagram. We do post episode snippets and like memes and stuff. If you guys are interested in that, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Yo, I found out we're on some German podcasting platform. I'm like, okay, if you're in Germany, yeah. I think it's called Zergen Blog. I don't know. What the fuck it's
My gosh.
They're into some kinky guys, shit. I could see why they like you and Gina.
Yeah, that's probably, I don't know. Some dudes kept, some German guy slid in our DMs and says, open up, show me your body. I was like, what the fuck? I had to delete that. I was like, okay, that's weird.
I would have been like, that must have been for Gina.
Because, yeah, like, you know, wrestlers and fans being cyberbullied or problematic tweets at that ass girls.
We'll take care of it.
We're back now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on. We always love having you. You're always welcome to come back. And now that we got you in that cafeteria chat, I'm sure we'll know more often when you're free and we'll be seeing more of you. So looking forward to that.
Yes, thank you for coming on. And thank you for having me and everyone. Smacking it raw. Keep smacking it
raw. Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jizzy.
Later, Jizzy.
Vince, where do you want to go? AEW or Raw?
Let's breeze through Raw, I guess.
We'll bang these out so you can go bang whatever you got to bang out. Yes. Bobby and MVP call out Goldberg. Goldberg says that they're both just scared of him. MVP runs his mouth to Goldberg's kid and then gets speared in slow motion on the rampway because Goldberg can't spear in fast motion. Drew defeats Veer and Shanky via DQ after Jinder delivers some revenge with a chair, and then he tries to murder people with a sword.
Which Nia loses. Apparently Chicago loved.
Oh, Chicago loved it. That is correct. Monday Night Raw was in Chicago. Nia loses to Rhea after Shayna fucks up. Nia gets busted open during the match. Shayna and Nia have words. Shayna leaves. Rhea hits Nia with the Riptide. After the match, looks like we're finally getting that Shane and Nia breakup we've been waiting for. Mason T-Bar defeat Ali and Mansoor in a rematch. Ali got so much love from the hometown crowd in Chicago. He sacrifices himself to save Mansoor by shoving him out of the ring and then taking the sit-out double choke slam from Mason T-Bar. Charlotte compares herself to Simone Biles, complains about Money in the Bank, grabs a kendo stick, a broom, and a chair. Did kind of a shitty promo. We got Becky Chance. Nikki's going to be a martyr in a no DQ match. Nikki hits Charlotte with the chair to a mixed reaction. We got an Eva promo with who I'm now calling Double D because I don't want to call her Dewdrop, and that's what her Twitter handle is Double D. It is. Like, look, instead of Piper, it's Double D. So I'm calling her Double D. Eva says she made Double D. Natalia got what she deserved. Tamina's next. And that the Lily Lucian is disgusting. And then Double D loses to Tamina after taking Eva's advice. And then Alexa rubs in the loss from the Tron. Riddle and Priest BS because that's still a thing. John Morrison and Miz have Damian Priest on Miz TV. Miz blames Priest for his injury and for Sheamus's injury, which I'm sure Vince will agree with. Priest insinuates that the Miz is faking and has his issue is really that he doesn't have balls, not that he has an injured leg. He calls Morrison Johnny's sidekick. Priest wants to challenge Sheamus, but will settle for Morrison tonight. Then Miz gets shot with repeated dripsticks in the face, Bukkake style. Damian Priest defeats Morrison, gets jumped by Sheamus. Ricochet makes the save. We get a tag match. Priest and Ricochet win. Lashley responds to Goldberg's challenge. Omos defeats Riddle. Thank God. Even Double D fuck up attacking Alexa and Lily. Lily stands on her own, which was weird that Adal just stood up. But I enjoyed it because it's supernatural and that's my thing.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Best part of Monday Night Raw, Karrion Kross loses to Keith Lee in front of Chicago. Definitely going to talk about the spirit hands. Reggie defeats Tozawa for the 24/7 title. And Nikki Cross defeats Charlotte. So this week on Monday Night Raw, you got, not you specifically, you, the IWC, got everything that you complained about from the weeks before. Yeah. Keith Lee got a win. Nikki Cross defeated Charlotte. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you guys are still bitching and saying Raw sucks. I don't know what to do with you guys. Yeah. Vince, what are you swallowing?
I'm swallowing Keith Lee's win over Karrion Kross because, LOL, Cross took Cross loses.
You were here. I don't know if it was here or if it was on your podcast, but you and I specifically, and maybe RN, talked about how Keith Lee does the spirit bomb and about putting your hands up and gathering your, you know, giving him your energy.
Yeah.
And how we think that Keith Lee should put his hands up to gather the energy. He did it in the match. He put his hands up to get the energy from the crowd for the fucking spirit bomb. And that's I popped fantastic. So fucking hard. And you were the first person I thought of, Vince.
Aw, that's sweet. That's sweet. I genuinely love it. And I think where we mentioned this was on the Smack Drop podcast when I was still doing the NXT show. That's mm-hmm. that's I believe where the genesis of that all came from. But yeah, just Keith Lee getting that win. It's kind of like a little confusing as to why he lost to Karrion Kross last week just to beat him this week. But let's not dwell on the past. Let's focus on the present and the now and the fact that Keith Lee won. Nikki Cross beating Charlotte Flair in a fantastic match, by the way. The No Holds Barred match was really good. Kind of felt mm-hmm. like it should have been a pay-per-view caliber match, and they just kind of threw it on the regular Raw, which is a little confusing. But nonetheless, very good match. I'm very happy Nikki got the win. And I'm very much happy in swallowing the fact that Ali got such a warm reception from Chicago. I'm a little mixed feelings about this episode because this is actually the first wrestling show that I haven't gone to in 7 years. The first show I've went to was the March 3rd Raw in 2014 after Punk left. And I've been to every single show, whether it was a live show or a TV show. And I just didn't feel like going. Like,
well, is this, I was going to say, this was because you were like COVID and I don't want to be around sweaty wrestling fans, but then went to an independent show with like the sweatiest.
No. I haven't gotten to a wrestling show at all since like COVID started. So it was just a combination of things. It's like Raw hasn't been the best. And it's fucking Raw. If it was SmackDown, I probably would have won. Went. And then, you know, just still not the most comfortable going to like a packed venue, especially since like COVID's not gone, guys. You know, it's still a thing. And just, I don't know, I didn't really want to call off work. You know, I kind of want my money. You know, it's just like just to go to Raw. You know,
are you growing up?
Yeah. So, but overall, I thought Raw was a decent show. But yeah,
I'm with you on that. I really enjoyed the main event. Nikki Cross got the win, which kind of helps legitimize her as champion in a really good match. You've also got, like, you obviously love Keith Lee. I feel like Keith Lee had two losses. So coming out here with a Chicago crowd, like, this is me fantasy booking. This isn't reality. But, like, I want to believe that Keith Lee is a character because of the spirit bomb that needs the energy of the crowd to thrive and survive. And there is no crowd that is going to give him a better energy because there is no better crowd in the world for wrestling than a Chicago crowd. And he got the energy he needed from the crowd to pull that win out over Karrion Kross, which is why he won here and lost last week and lost to Bobby Lashley. And if you guys can keep supporting Keith Lee, he can keep winning. So give that man your energy, because it was a whole new Keith Lee. Like, this is not a Keith Lee that I feel we've seen since maybe he beat Randy Orton, since they sent him down to developmental, had him change the way he works and kind of took his confidence away, stripped some things away. Even when he came out on the stage, you could see like the crowd and everything. It felt like he got his confidence back. He got a little bit of that swag back. Mm-hmm. And you saw it in the match. And then at the end of the match, you really saw it. So like, this felt like a new Keith Lee to me, like the old new Keith Lee to me.
Yeah.
So I love that. Ali's story, like, say what you want about Mason T-Bar and his opponents and this and that, a story with Ali and Mansoor has been kind of like a C-level story, but seeing Ali being the one to try and turn Mansoor from being a good guy to Mansoor actually slowly turning Ali into being a good guy, mm-hmm. bringing him to the light instead of Ali bringing him to the dark, and, you know, Ali seeing like all these things that he was telling Mansoor might not be true, by saving Mansoor and shoving him out and sacrificing himself, and that reception he got from the hometown crowd.
Yeah, it just, it kind of made sense. I don't know if it was by design or not, but him doing that in Chicago made the perfect sense because he got a babyface pop tonight, like not tonight, on Monday. And I thought that was either, whether it was coincidence or by design, it was fantastic.
And I'm swallowing the Alexa Lilly stuff because, again, it is one of the only horror movie supernatural aspect things that I get anymore. And honestly, I don't know where it's going to go, but we had Sister Abigail. We had the puppets in the Firefly Funhouse that were active participants that talked and moved and did things. So Lily standing up and doing things, as long as she's not wrestling in a fucking match, which I don't see happening unless we get a cinematic match, it's not going to bother me. It's not a bad thing. Like, it's just an extra addition to Alexa's character. Yeah. So let's see where Alexa goes. And she's probably going to beat the shit out of Eva Marie, which is great. So, like, let's do that.
I think people just fail to realize that, like, when with those kind of characters, there's going to be some stuff that's hit or miss, person to person type basis. Undertaker hasn't done the best things in, like, his entire history. Like, there's some stuff where you kind of like, it probably wasn't executed the best, but it wasn't terrible.
I disagree. Everything the Undertaker did was fantastic.
Sure.
In ring, the Undertaker, the character.
Sure. Yeah, I know where you're getting at, and I'm still sure.
Except for losing to Brock Lesnar, that was terrible. Are we spitting anything?
Eva Marie's presence. She's the new Aaliyah.
I'm gonna spit the whole Charlotte Nikki promo before the match because. Yes. Charlotte's promo felt off. It was weird. And then Nikki didn't get the best reaction when she showed up to hit Charlotte with the chair from the Chicago crowd, which kind of surprised me. Like, she got a mixed reaction. So that did not go over as well. Plus, it's a Chicago crowd, but them constantly chanting for Becky whenever Charlotte comes out.
Yeah.
Really kind of dampers that, whatever they're doing anyway. Charlotte handled it much better last week. And then, I did want to swallow almost beating Riddle because fuck Riddle. Hashtag Riddle over Riddle.
Yeah.
Riddle takes another L and Randy Orton is still out with mental health issues from having to be around that motherfucker. So nobody's here to save him.
Okay, fair enough. I do want to spit the fact that Sheamus took a loss. He should never take any sort of loss. This is why he should be a singles competitor and not be associated with Johnny Loser or Johnny whatever the fuck he wants to call himself, you know? But Sheamus deserves so much better. Just so much better.
Yeah, and he rebroke his face. So, you know, your boy Damian Priest rebroke his face.
It's okay. Sheamus is strong. He's a strong Celtic warrior. He'll be back with a better face. We have the technology to rebuild him.
I'm also going to spit the Drew stuff only because he attempted to murder three men with a sword. That's a little extreme.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, isn't Chicago technically the murder capital of the United States? I mean,
it is. But here's my thing. Like,
and murder.
Medieval Times is right up the road. Like, why not just go there and do it? Like,
I don't know. I was trying to avoid the trip, maybe.
Go to Medieval Times, fucking joust if that's what you want to fucking do. Have a give Drew and Jinder a sword and a shield and let them fucking duel it out and be done with it. But swords versus chairs, not a fair fight. I don't care how many there are. Anything else?
Nah, Rob was just kind of there. I'm kind of glad I didn't go, to be honest.
It felt good because it was from Chicago, and I would have liked to be there just for that Keith Lee match. That would have been worth it for me. I'm gonna swallow Raw for the things I liked, and there not being anything severely I hated, and Matt Riddle lost.
True. I think I'm still gonna gargle Raw. I feel like I love Chicago, but there were like, man, the CM Punk chants, like that, like sometimes they take away from the show, like the whole. I know it's not exclusive to Chicago, but like the Becky chants, it's just kind of annoying. Just drop it. There was some good stuff, not so great stuff, but you know, Rob was just kind of there. Like, I think the only thing that like really stands out to me that I wanted to really swallow is the fact that Keith Lee used the spirit dance and used the energy from Chicago to summon the spirit bomb and win.
So, and that main event that you really liked.
the main event was really good, but honestly, like, whether we got it or not, like, I would, like, yeah, it was a good match. I just want to give it, like, the respect and due that it deserves, but I would have been okay without by missing that.
Did you finish AEW?
Yeah, I finished AEW. I okay. skipped some stuff.
In the I was going to say, round. Last time we talked, you said all you had to do was finish AEW and then you'd be caught up, so.
Yeah, I watched the first full hour, and then the second hour, I just skimmed through some stuff, specifically like the Bunny match and the Miro match. And yeah, whatever matches happened other than the main event in the second hour, I skipped. I fast-forwarded. Okay.
Well, let's talk about it. Jericho defeats Juventud Guerrera. Travis did not show up to yell at me because Juve did not hit a 450. After the match, Wardlow destroys both guys, giving Juve an F10 or whatever the fuck he calls it. Find out that the fourth labor is going to be Wardlow with MJF as special guest referee. Pac had his travel canceled, and the Lucha Bros are still turning down Andrade's advances. Chavo seemed a little upset about that. He's not happy. I don't know how to feel about it. Hangman wants to leave the Dark Order. The friendship. He wants to leave the friendship behind. They aren't happy about it, but Evil Uno's like, listen, if you want some space, just give him some space.
That's a healthy relationship right there,
guys. Yeah.
That's how a healthy relationship should work.
Never Rise and some guy lose to Mox Kingston and Darby.
I guess.
Team Taz nonsense that we don't talk about because Team Taz stuff sucks. The Elite does basketball stuff backstage. The Good Bros accept the Dark Order's challenge for their Impact Tag Team Championships. And then the Young Bucks say there's nobody left in the tag division. And Kenny says there's nobody left to challenge him. So they apparently do something that happens in basketball. You can confirm this because I'm not a fan. They cut down the net. Like they're retiring?
No. So in college basketball, once the champion is crowned, they cut the net just like to commemorate like they're the champions. That's not necessarily mean they're retiring. They're just, it's like kind of like a piece of memorabilia, like keeping the game ball or something.
Well, the Bucks said something about they're retiring or not like retiring, but like
the Bucks don't know shit, man.
About basketball?
No.
Fair enough. We got Christian defeating the Blade. Layla Hirsch battles the Bunny to the Back during that match, which they have later on. Britt Baker is interrupted by Red Velvet. Britt accepts the challenge for Rampage. Velvet, distracted by Rebel, gets taken out by Britt. Andrade wants Fuego del Sol to go get his shine box. And if you have not seen Goodfellas and don't understand that reference, go watch it. Hangman interview interrupted by the Elite. Kenny thinks Hangman wants back in. Paige ends up punching Kenny in the mouth and then gets jumped by the entire Elite. The Dark Order rushes out to try to make the save, but Uno and Grayson stop them and say, hey, listen, the man wanted his space. We're giving him his space. Let him get fucked up. Hangman then gets crucified. Kazarian comes down to try and make the save, but also gets beat down too. We get a promo from Dan Lambert coming back with more Hurtful Truth next week for Lance Archer in the AEW universe, and a mystery opponent for Lance Archer. Miro defeats Big Shoddy Lee Johnson. Christian does an interview, says he's here to win titles. He wanted to start from the bottom, and he has. Now he's number one contender. I guess that makes him elite. Layla Hirsch defeats the Bunny to become number one contender for the NWA Women's Championship at Empower. Then she is confronted by Camille. Favorite part of this whole thing is she goes toe-to-toe with Camille and basically is eye-to-eye with Camille's nipples. Like Camille, especially in the heels that she was wearing, is like 3 feet taller than Layla Hirsch. And then in our main event, ladies and gentlemen, Aleister Black defeats Cody Rhodes decisively, destroys Comblander Cody Rhodes. Cody got kicked so hard that he rambled on incoherently after the match. Looked like he got kicked so hard he was going to retire, But before he could finish taking his boots off, Black lays him out and then steals his boot. For me, Aleister Black versus Cody Rhodes is going to be a big swallow. You guys all know, I'm sorry, Malakai Black. I got to get used to calling him Malakai Black. Malakai Black versus Cody Rhodes, big swallow. Malakai's Black debut match, great match. A lot of people give shit to Cody Rhodes for wanting to be the first person to, you know, fight a lot of these people, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Cody put Malakai Black over. Like, Malakai won. After Malakai beat Cody, Cody was going to retire. And then Malakai said, you know what? You don't get to retire when you want to retire. You can retire when I put you down, and stopped him from retiring. So that feud is going to continue. We got a good match here. We're probably going to get a really cool match at the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Maybe see Cody Rhodes go after that or whatever the plan is. But that is my first big swallow. I'm also going to swallow Britt Baker and Red Velvet, because that was a really cool exchange. And then Andrade basically telling Fuego del Sol that he was going to hire him to shine his shoes. Or as I said, to go get his shine box, because I love Goodfellas. Christian challenging Kenny for the AEW championship.
I'm all for it. Hopefully we get it all out and somehow I'm able to finesse some tickets.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen at All Out that I'm going to be sad I'm probably going to miss because I didn't get tickets.
Don't worry, Matt. If I can get some secondhand tickets, I'm taking you with me.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Let me know.
Pick you up and everything. Just pay for the guests.
I mean, it is the weekend of my daughter's birthday, so I'm going to have to finagle some shit with the wife, but I'll figure it out.
Figure it out, man. Yeah, well, get back to me. Your people can get back to my people.
What are you swallowing from AEW?
I want to swallow Malakai Black's debut. I thought it was fantastic, the whole presentation. I love his Shao Kahn mask look that he had going. I'm not necessarily feeling the shorts look that he had, because I'm still used to his trunks look when he was with WWE. But it's still really good. I thought the match did what it was supposed to, put Malakai over as like a dominant force in AEW and just look like a total absolute beast. I want to swallow, like, I'm agreeing with you a lot here, which is par for the course, but the Red Velvet Britt Baker interaction was just fantastic, because Red Velvet just kind of felt like a big time player in the women's division. And Britt Baker, everything she laid out, those are facts. Mm-hmm. Like, and I like that she just like kind of stepped to Red Velvet. I'm like, okay, you won the championship? Bet, let's go. I'll just, it'll be like business as usual, a repeat of last time. I'm just gonna put you down and beat you. What else am I swallowing? That's about it, man.
It's hard for me. I want to swallow the Ever Rise and some guy lose to Mox and Kingston Darby match, mm-hmm. because there were some really cool moments in that match, but also it's fucking Ever Rise and some guy 2.0. Against Mox, Kingston, and Darby. And again, as we talked about earlier, we need to keep the same energy. So if it's fuck Patrick, it's fuck Darby too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also too, just like, I just like, it's one of those things I always hated in WWE, and they would always get shit for it. And AEW literally does it every fucking week. They always have a six-man tag match. They always have some sort of excuse to do a six-man tag match. It's kind of like their thing.
Yeah.
And I just like, that's the match that I always tune out for. So I just honestly didn't care. I feel like there was a lot of stuff that was just kind of there. Like the Miro match was good. It was fine. Whatever. The Bunny match to determine the number one contender for the NWA Women's Championship. Cool. The visual of the two, like, I don't even know these two competitors' names, but the visual of the two women together was kind of hilarious, especially the memes that were coming out on Twitter.
Layla Hirsch and Camille. Camille is your NWA Women's Champion, mm-hmm. who is contracted to the NWA.
Yes. I don't really keep up with NWA, unfortunately.
I want to see Camille versus Jade Cargill. That's what I want to see, because those two face to face with their physiques and their builds, that would be something. Layla's just fucking basically motorboating the shit out of Camille, because that's all she can do.
Yeah, for the most part, which isn't bad content, by the way.
No, it's not. You spit anything?
That Cody promo was just weird. Like, I get they were trying to do like the whole retiring thing, trying to put over Malachi Black. He's probably gonna go like leave for a few months to record like the next season of the Big Show show or whatever it's called. But I don't know, it was just kind of weird.
Baby, I think it's coming soon if it hasn't already come. So
yeah, and I get it, but it's like I feel like Cody's just so extra.
It's weird to me that Cody came into AEW and then lost a match so he could never challenge for a championship. And then without a, like, they've hit a million. Like, they're steadily at a million since Malachi Black has debuted. And I 100% attribute the consistent million viewers to my boy Malachi Black. I will not be told otherwise. But it's weird to me that they finally got to this point and now he's going to retire and leave. Like,
nah.
You're just hitting your stride. He's not. It's going to be a wrestling retirement, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I'm spitting the Team Taz shit because I always spit the Team Taz shit because I don't give a fuck about. They have not given me a reason to give a fuck about the FTW title, Team Taz, that feud, any of that shit. And
the FTW title is as relevant and prestigious as Zack Ryder's Internet Championship was at some point.
Yeah. I'm also spitting the Elite promo with the basketball stuff.
Garbage.
Trash. I'm going to gargle undecidedly on Jericho Hoovy because obviously they're older, so it wasn't going to be the 90s match that we got. It wasn't going to be that pace. It wasn't going to be, but I don't think it was as good as I thought it was going to be, and maybe I hyped it up in my head a little bit too much, and I was a little too excited for it.
Mm-hmm. I think that what took me out of the match was like, commentary was trying to sell us like, oh my gosh, he's still as fast as he used to be. I'm like, no, he's not.
He's
slow as hell. I could run faster than him and I get winded after going on a 2-minute jog, you know. that's not saying much. I will give him points for creativity and originality, where like the stipulation of the third tribulation was that he had to hit a top rope move, top rope Judas effect. It looks better than the regular Judas effect, if that means anything. But I don't know, man. Like, these tribulations are getting easier as they're going along, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
No, I'm with you on that. You went from, what was it? The first trial was chairs.
Sean Spears can use a chairs match.
So you went from Sean Spears chairs to indie guy death match. So that's.
Okay.
And then you went to have to hit a top rope move to beat Hoovy, but you guys are both 20 years older than you were when you guys were going at your best. And then you went to Wardlow with MJF as a special guest referee, which technically is supposed to be a guarantee that Jericho's not going to win, but we know something's going to happen and or another ref's going to come out and count the 1, 2, 3 or whatever. And Jericho's going to get that one.
Probably, yeah. Aubrey might come out. I think what I would have changed in the tribulations is, if you're going to still keep the Hoovy match, maybe have that be the first one. That kind of makes it, or the second one kind of makes sense. But following the death match just makes no sense. Or maybe like instead of like a Hoovy, like maybe like a young Ashley athletic, like cruiserweight that's similar to Hoovy. And at that point, the MJS like whole point of like, hey, the reason why I did this, so he has to try to rely on his speed and athleticism, which has kind of like diminished in his years, would actually be more of a tribulation as opposed to like, no, they're about running at the same speed.
I appreciate getting to see the Juice back on TV though. So
I've lost some respect for the Juice for personal reasons. I've heard some, I've heard some negative things about him as a person.
Okay.
So he's slowly creeping into that Alberto El Patron, we don't claim him territory for me. I can't hate him. People still loving him.
Overall, AEW, spit or swallow?
I'll swallow for Malachi Black.
Swallow for Malachi Black. That's what I'm talking about. What was your favorite show this week?
Do I have to pick? Because I feel like wrestling wasn't the best.
So this is hard for me because Malachi Black is a big boon for me.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Lee getting a win, also a big boon. But now Keith Lee negatively taints SmackDown because Keith Lee showed up in a dark match on SmackDown off brand.
Does it really
Reek, you thought I wasn't going to talk about it because I didn't talk about it. I'm fucking talking about it. I don't care if it's a fucking dark match. I don't care what it is. There was a goddamn brand split. You don't work on fucking Fridays. Neither do you, Dakota Kai. Stay the fuck on your own goddamn show.
Oh, man.
Actually, Dakota Kai, fine, because they do dark matches as tryouts for NXT to see if they want them to come up to the main roster, whatever. Yeah. But not trying out fucking Keith Lee for the main roster. He's already fucking there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to fucking see him. So, no, we keep him on goddamn Raw. I don't want to see him in a blue ring.
Then NXT had Index.
And NXT had Index. So, really, it's between Malakai Black and Index for me. Mm-hmm. And Dexter did take the loss, even though he got Index. So, I'm going to go AEW.
I feel like I'm not going to go with AEW. And I feel like it doesn't really matter what I pick because it's going to be AEW because those are the rules. But I want to go ahead and say I think my favorite show was SmackDown. Just it had Sasha. It still had Roman, which I love Roman. It had Finn. And I loved how Finn stepped up to Roman. And his promo was pretty good because my main concern with Finn when he re-debuted on SmackDown was, is he going to go back to babyface Finn with he's smiling all the time and just pandering to the crowd because he changed his entrance back to his original main roster entrance. And I liked how it's like, this Finn is not going to smile. And like, if I have to go through John Cena to get to Roman and the Universal title, that's what I want to see. Yes, he got jumped at the end, but 3-1, you're not going to come out on top most nights unless you're Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know, most people aren't Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I overall liked SmackDown. There wasn't really too much that I disliked on SmackDown.
You fucked up, Vince.
Yes.
If you had gone NXT, I was going to give it a split decision and let it slide because I'm kind of split on it. But you went SmackDown. I told you I can't give it to SmackDown because Keith Lee. So
yeah, I know.
As per the normal rules of the Smack and Raw podcast, where I get the extra final vote, the best show of the week per the Smack and Raw podcast is AEW Dynamite this week. But as you all know, Vince really likes SmackDown and he gave you his reasons why. Mm-hmm. So Vince, go ahead for the first time in 2 weeks, remind everyone where they can follow you. Check you out.
Yeah. If you guys have missed me and just want to keep up with all my nonsense on social media, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at CS Vince. If you're trying to follow some, I'm trying to keep and make it a little bit more active. Like the Instagram has been a little bit more active on the SmackNarod podcast. So go ahead and follow that at SmackNarod Pod on Instagram. Any funny meme that I see Travis or Matt fire up in either the Facebook group or in the group chats on Twitter, I go ahead and like release it to the public on Instagram as well. So go ahead and check that out. Matt, go ahead and plug the Facebook because you know I don't do a good job at it.
When is that Dragon Ball Z straight talk dropping?
I thought we were going to record both episodes and release them like,
yeah, but I know you wanted to do something for your other episode. So if it needs to drop soon, you got to do it. So,
we'll figure that out
whenever we figure that out. The second one will come when it comes.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to like I'm going to go ahead and try working on it. And worst case scenario comes out like in a few weeks, because I am trying to work on the Kobe podcast. It's going to come out on October 24th. So make sure to look out for that on the Straight Talk podcast. You can always find the links and socials for all that on my social media on Instagram and Twitter. It's linktree.com/SCSVince. But I'm going to do like a Bulls Banter podcast in the meantime, because I really do kind of want those two Dragon Ball podcasts to be in conjunction with one another. So a lot has happened with NBA free agency and I do want to talk about the Bulls. So I think I'm going to have an impromptu episode 7 of the Straight Talk podcast, where we just have some Bulls banter and just talk about the season coming up. I may or may not get a Get Show member on there if he ever replies to my DM.
Ooh. You guys know you guys can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritter. There's at MATTRIDDER. And as Vince said, Twitter and Instagram, Smackin' Raw Pod, at Smackin' Raw Pod. Also at The Creation World, TheCreatiaTIA World on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/CreationWorld, Facebook.com/groups/SmackinRaw. And if you're a fan of the DC Universe, go check Travis Amar out over at Facebook.com/SuperFlashyArrowOfTomorrow and their Super Flashy Arrow of Tomorrow podcast, which can be found everywhere that this podcast is found. And if you have a problem, finding any of that stuff, just go to creationworld.com. You can find everything there. Find out about Vince and me and what we like and what we do and everyone else.
I actually have a profile bio on Creation.
You are on the page.
Yes, so I am officially a member of the crew, so go ahead and check out my fantastic bio picture. I'm just glad to be back, Matt. I missed you.
I'm glad to have you back, too.
Thanks.
For Daddy Delgado, the Pornhub Poppy, I am the Warden Matt Ritter. We are Smackin' It Raw, and we are the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub.
Number one.